Right, without any further ado, I hope it will not crash on me in the middle. Shkoyach Rabbi Yosef for your email at Tosfos and Kolev, very fascinating. We're on the fifth wide line. Ba'omer of Yeshua ben Levi, Bechof Dalad Mekoymos, in 24 places, based in Menadin al Kvoid Horav. In 24 places, we find that Bezdin put somebody in a Nidui. A Nidui means excommunication. For what reason? Because they were standing up for the Kavod of a Talmud Chacham, and somebody who clearly didn't was put into Cherem, put into excommunication. V'kulon shoninu b'mishnei seinu. And all of them have been learned in the Mishnais. This is what Rabbi Shua ben Levi stated. Omalei Rabbi Loza Heicha. So Rabbi Loza said to him, where is it? You tell me that there are 24 places that we find that somebody was put in excommunication for this reason. Where are they to be found? If you look at Rashi, B'chof dalad mekoymos, the end of the wide lines, hashtamat mashma, sounds like what we're saying is, motzinu, we have found, shenodu chachomim b'nei odom, the chachomim excommunicated people, b'chof dalad mekoymos, in 24 places, l'chvoid harav, in honor of a rav, of a talmud chacham, l'fi sheloi nosu kovoid l'rabom, because they did not accord the correct honor to their Rav. That's what it sounds like at the moment. So we'll see if this develops. So this is the statement authored by Rabbi Shua ben Levi, to which Rabbi Loza says to him, where? Where is this to be found? You said it's to be found in the Mishnayos. Where exactly? Heicha, where? Omalei. So he responded, very interesting response, L'chi tishkach, go and find it. If I tell you it's in the Mishnayos, then clearly you can go and find it. You don't need to ask me, where is it to be found? Go and find it yourself. And he did. Nofak, he went out, he left his Rebbe. Dok. Dok means he was medayek, he checked, he examined. V'ashkach tlas. And he found three of them. We mentioned that there's 24, but he found three, discovered three mentions of those who were put into a nidui as a result of not according the correct kavod to a Talmud Chacham. What were these three? Hamazalzel benetilas yodayim. We'll see what this means. Somebody who was mezalzel, he mocked the inyan of Netilas Yadayim. V'hamasaper, somebody who spoke badly, achar mitoson shel tamidi chachomim, after the bed, the coffin of a Talmud Chacham. V'hamegis daitoi klape mailo. Megis literally means to stir. Hamegis daitoi means somebody who stirred his mind, somebody who offered his mind klape malo, with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somebody spoke disrespectfully, klape malo. Those are the headlines. So there are three cases that Rebbe Loza found. Something to do with Netilas Yadayim, something to do with speaking badly about the coffin, and something to do with speaking badly against the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. All very vague. Those are the headlines, and now the Gemara goes into detail and explains. Hamasaper achar mitoson shel tamidei chachomim mai hi. This was in fact not the first, it was the second. I'm not sure why the Gemara switched the order. This was the second of the three examples mentioned, that there was somebody, we're going to go into detail now, who spoke badly, disrespectfully about a Talmud Chacham after he had passed away. Mahi, what is that? If he found it in the Mishnayos, where did he find this? The Tanan. It's important to know, by the way, if you look at the word the Tanan, you'll see a little star, which takes you in the margin somewhere, and it tells you Idios. Idios Parakei. Now, just, it's an important and useful piece of information, important to know. What's the subject matter of Masechtas Idios? Every Masechta has its prime subject matter, and then on occasion does go off at a tangent. But what is the predominant subject matter of Idios? And the answer is, there is no subject matter. Idios is from the word edus, testimony. Idios is a collection of various Tanoim stating that they testified to the following story or the following psak halacha in Beis Din. So therefore, as you can imagine, Idios is full of all different topics. Tanoim testified, Idios, they gave edus that they were privy in a particular Beis Din to see this psak and that psak. So it could be a halacha on any single subject. Therefore, there is no one subject matter in Idios. It's a whole collection of various topics, just as an aside. Either way, what's mentioned in Idios is the following story. The Tanan, Hu Hoya Omer, he said, now who was he? So Rashi says, it's Akavya ben Mahalalel, one of the great Tanoim. Akavya ben Mahalalel said the following. He said, Ein mashkin loy es hagiyores veloy es hamashuchreres. Mashkin over here is talking about giving the eshes soita, the unfaithful wife who is suspected of being adulterous. We know we are mashke, we give her to drink the water in the Beis HaMikdash, and then we see what happens to her. But not every woman are we mashke to. There are exceptions to the rule. So Akavi ben Malalal says, Ein mashkin, we are not mashke either to a giyores or to a meshuchreres. A meshuchreres is somebody who is initially a maidservant, a non-Jew, and then she converts. So basically, it's also a type of geiris. They then marry a Jew and are accused of being unfaithful. We are not mashke them. That was his klal. Now, why is that? So look at Rashi. On the first narrow line, Hu ayoima akavi ben malala, that's the Masechtas Idios. Ein mashkin. Im Kinolo ba'alo v'nistero. There are two key words in this Rashi, kino and nistero. This is not so much our subject, but it's very important to point out. An isha soita will only go through the whole process if two things happen. Number one, there's what's called kinui, which means the husband warns her. Warns her, do not be caught alone with this particular man. That's kino. And the nistera stira from the word seiser. Seiser we know means like in hiding. Meaning she is in fact caught alone with this particular man. Now, as we know, the isha soita, by definition, there are no edim who can actually testify to what happened behind closed doors. If there were two edim who saw what happened, then obviously you don't need to go through the whole soita process. We would just kill her. The edim would come to Beis Din, they would report they actually saw the act, and that would be that. Soita, by definition, we do not know what happened behind closed doors. So that's why we have to go through the process of giving her the water to drink, and then we'll see what happens to her. But even that only occurs, number one, as Rashi says, in kinolo ba'alo, if the husband warned her, not she was just caught, he warned her in advance, and then the nistera, literally means she hid, but it means the Nisra, she was in hiding, she was beyichud. She was caught beyichud with this particular man, the very man about whom the husband had previously warned. That's the normal case of the Isha Saita, and you'd give her the water to drink. Says Rashi, Loi esagiyores. You would not, however, give water to drink to the Giyores. Why not? Says Rashi, De Bnei Yisrael, quote unquote, Omor Beparasha. Which parasha? In Parashas Nosai, that is where the parasha of Saita is written. And it says there, Bnei Yisrael, to which we make a drosha prat. This comes to exclude Le'eshes Geir, the wife of a Geir, or the Eved Meshuchrer, or the wife of a freed slave. Now, this obviously is a little bit of a difficult drosha, because at the end of the day, they are Bnei Yisrael. They might not have been Jewish from birth, but now they are fully fledged Jews once they have converted. Nonetheless, the Gemara makes that drosha, that the wife of the Geir or the wife of the Eved is not subject to this halacha. Now it's interesting because the Gemara called it Giyores. Giyores sounds like she is the convert. And yet Rashi says, no, it's Eshes Geir, it's the wife of a convert. But she herself, it sounds like, is not necessarily a convert. I'm not sure of Yosef if the article pick up on that. Do they point this out? The Gemara calls it Giyores, which is a female convert. And yet Rashi calls it Eshes Geir, the wife of a convert, which sounds like she may well be a fully fledged Jew. Her husband is the convert. I'm not sure how that fits in the Lashon of the Gemara. Do they point anything out on that, Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yehudovid?
An emancipated Canaanite slave seems to be talking about the woman.
Right.
Such an emancipated slave has the status of a convert.
Yeah. Right, that's interesting, because Rashi calls it Eshes Geir for some reason. Okay, there's no note. Okay, either way, either the convert herself or the Eshes Geir, we are not mashke based on a posuk. Fine. That is the opinion of a Kavi ben Mahalalel. But the Chachomim oimrim mashke. The Chachomim say that we are mashke. So we have a machloikas tanoim, whether the halachas of the Eshes Saita applies to the Giyores or not. Akavi ben Mahalalel says it does not, and the Chachomim say that it does. They said to him, who's to him? Presumably Akavi ben Mahalalel. They said to him, Maisa, there was a story, the Karkamis. What is Karkamis? Strange looking word. So Rashi says, Karkamis kach shemo. That was the name of the woman. She was a Giyores. Alternatively, Rashi says, Oy al shem makoma, or maybe that was the name of the place in which this took place. So either way, we're talking about an Ishes and a Giyores. Either Karkamis was her name or was the name of the place. Shifcha meshuchreres birushalayim. A woman called Karkamis, or a woman from Karkamis, and she was a Shifcha meshuchreres. She was a convert in Yerushalayim. Vehishkua Shemaya va'avtalyoin. And Shemaya and Avtalyoin paskened that she should drink. So clearly this story seems to be absolute proof against the position of Akavya ben Malalel. Akavya ben Malalel said, you do not give the water to drink to a convert or a shifcha who's converted. And here we have a story in which they did exactly that. Who did so? Shammai v'Avtalion, the great Tanoim, they paskin that this Isha, Shifcha Meshuchreres, does have to drink. So how can Akavya ben Mahalalel say that you do not give to drink to the Eishes Gyoires when we have a story which was exact opposite? V'omar lohem, and he said to them, who's he? Sounds like Akavya ben Mahalalel said. He answered back and he said, Dugma Hishkua. What does that mean, Dugma Hishkua? Dugma, we always means an example or similar to. Look at Rashi. Rashi explains. Dugma Hishkua Al Shehoyu Doimim Lohem. It's because they were similar. Let's not forget that Shammai and Avtalion were themselves converts. Al Shem Shehoyu Doimim Lohem, because she was similar to them. That's why Hishkua, that's why they gave her to drink. Shehoyu Shammai v'Avtalion mibnei bonov shel Sancheirev. Shammai v'Avtalion, incredibly, ended up the greatest of the Tanoim, but they were descendants of Sancheirev, a goy. Kedominam begitin perakani zokin. So they themselves were converts. So it sounds like that. What is the response over here? You're telling me that you're I paskins and Akavya ben Mahalalel, you don't give the water to drink to a Gioris. You're bringing me a story from Shammai v'Avtalion in which they did give to drink the Gioris. So how did he respond? Well, that was different because they are also Gerim. That does not sound like a very respectful thing to say. It sounds like what he's saying is, essentially, I'm right that you're not supposed to give to drink to the convert. And the reason why Shammai v'Avtalion did so is because they themselves were Gerim. So I guess they didn't want to see their fellow Gioris as an exception. Equality, which of course is a highly disrespectful thing to say about Shammai v'Avtalion, as if to indicate that they got the halacha totally wrong and they distorted the halacha only because they had compassion, as it were, for their fellow ger. They didn't want to see any discrimination. And guess what happened? V'nidu, they put him in cheirem. Now again, Rabbi Yosef, do they point out that this is specifically referring to Akavya ben Mahalalel? Who was put into Cheirim? It sounds like Akavya ben Mahalalel was put into Cheirim.
Yeah, that's what it says in the text. They excommunicated in brackets Akavya.
Akavya ben Mahalalel, a frightening thing. He was a Tana and he got excommunicated. Not only that, Umeis ben Iduyov. He died whilst in excommunication, meaning the Nidui had not been rescinded before he died. So he died whilst in Cheirem, and that wasn't the end of it. V'soklu Bezdin es aroinoi, and the Bezdin stoned his coffin. Not a very dignified death. So this is now the first example of, we said there are many, 24, but at least three were found, of somebody who was put into Cheirem because of a lack of respect for Talmid Chachamim. So Akavya ben Mahalalel, even though he is a Talmud Chacham in his own right, a Tana HaKodesh, because he was seen to speak in a disrespectful way about Shammai v'Avtalion, he was put into Cheirem and his coffin was stoned. A frightening story.
This is a bit off the subject, but our normal minhag practice here is we don't use a coffin.
Correct. This is strong.
So how would they have viewed the coffin then?
Yeah, the minigin chutzaris are certainly to do so.
Yeah.
Just, which is actually until today. Yeah. Says the Gemara, that was the first story. Now let's go to the next story. What was the case of somebody who mocked Netilas Yodayim and ended up in Chayra? Mahi, what is that? The Tznan. This is another Mishnah, this is in Psachim. And it says, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Chas v'shalom, Sha'akavya ben Mahalalel nisnado. Rabbi Yehuda said, Chas v'shalom, to suggest that Akavya ben Mahalalel was put into Chayrim. It can't be. She'ein azara nin'eles al kol odom bi Yisrael b'chochma u'b'tayra u'b'yiras cheit ka'akavya ben Mahalala. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda polig. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees Adlael on that which we said previously, Daktani. We learn Shenodu es Akavya, that they excommunicated Akavya, and Rabbi Yehuda says, it cannot be. I cannot accept that Akavya was excommunicated. Why not? Carry on, Rashi. She'ein Azara nin eles. The Azara in the Beis Hamikdash was not locked. What does that mean? It says Rashi. Perakei in Psochim, it says, Shehayu Sharei O Azara, the gates of the Azara and the Beis Hamikdash, Ninolim, were locked. Keshe Sheichtin Psochim Shel Kol Kat V'Kat. This is something that you might remember we learned towards the end of the Sukkah, that there were three groups, says Rashi, Sha Pesach Nishchat B'Gimel Kitois. Korban Pesach was shechted in three installments. You cannot have all of Klal Yisrael and the Beis Hamikdash at the same time. So you had the first shift, the second, and then the third. So we are still talking about a colossal amount of people in the Beis Hamikdash at one time. When that first group entered the Beis Hamikdash, they then shut and locked the gates during the Shechitas of the Pesach, until it was finished, upon which the next cut then entered. When the gates were closed, you can imagine now there are hundreds, thousands of people, thousands of Klal Yisrael in the Beis Hamikdash, and none of them were as great as Akavya ben Mahalala. That's the suggestion over here. Says Rashi, Al kol adam bi Yisrael, kolayma. What this means to say is, Keshehoy son nin eles aleihem, when the door was closed on them, v'hainu kashenismaloi, that is when it became filled, pair to pair, from side to side. So we're talking about the Beis Hamikdash was absolutely jam-packed. You could not get any person, any more people in. Loi hoya b'kulam, there was nobody amongst them all, odom choshuv, there was nobody more prominent, b'chochma, v'yiras cheit, ka'akavya. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I cannot accept the notion that Akavya ben Mahalalel was ever put into Chayrim. It does not make sense. At a time where there were hundreds of thousands of people in the Beis Hamikdash, we are told there were none greater than Akavya ben Mahalalel. They closed the gates in the Beis Hamikdash, and if you would take a survey, who is the greatest in Chochma, in Taira, in Yiras Chet? The number one was Akavya ben Mahalalel. It cannot be that he was excommunicated. It just can't be. It just can't be. I disagree with that whole story. Says the Gemara. Elo es minidui. So, what do you maintain? Who then was excommunicated? If you deny flatly, you maintain that Akavia was not. So who was? He says, who was it? Es Elozar ben Chanoich. Shepikpeik benetilas yodayim. He was mefakpeik. What does it mean, mefakpeik? He mocked or doubted the whole institution of netilas yodayim. Netilas yodayim, as we know, is not a do'iraisa mitzvah. It is a rabbinic institution brought in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. Reb Elozar ben Chanoich was mefakpeik. Who says that you need to wash your hands at all? And when he died, Sholchu Bezdin sent a shliach ve'nichui even gedoylo al aroinoi. And they put a big stone, a rock, on his coffin, which was a type of stoning. What does that teach us? L'lamedcha, to teach us, shekol hamisnade, that anybody who is excommunicated, umeis b'niduyov, and in fact dies whilst in excommunication, bezdin soiklin esaroinoi, bezdin stone his coffin. So al kaponim, according to this version of events, it was not Akavya ben Malalel, it was in fact Elozar ben Chanoich. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Elozar ben Chanoich shepikpeik. What does it mean, shepikpeik? Says Rashi, one word, zilzel. Zilzel, he was mezalzel. V'hainu nami lichvoid horav she'ovar. This is also an example. Remember, the introductory headline was somebody who was discommunicated for speaking badly following the patira of a Talmud Chacham. Who is that? This is this story. Why? Because al pi hagoizrim ala yodayim. He was speaking badly about those who were goizer, who decreed from the outset the whole mitzvah of yodayim. So by being mefakpeik, by being mezalzel in netilas yodayim, you are not just mocking the mitzvah, but you are mocking those who created the takona. And for that reason, he was put into discommunication. Now look at Tosfos briefly, at the bottom Tosfos. Dugma hishkua. Now, Rashi told us that what does it mean, dugma? Dugma hishkua means that Akavya ben Malalel, at least according to the first version of events, was saying that Shemaya v'Avtalia, and the reason why they gave to drink to this convert was dugma, because she is similar to them, i.e., they are converts, and so is she. Says Tosfos, Pirish Rashi, Lefi shehoyso giyores, because she was a female convert, kamoisom, just like them, shehoyu geirim. V'chein mashma b'Yerushalmi d'moed koten, and indeed this is the way that it's implied in the Gemara Yerushalmi moed koten. It says, mahu dugma, quote unquote. What does that word dugma mean? Dichvasei, she is like them. So therefore, Rashi is well backed up by the Gemara Yerushalmi that dugma means she is like them. However, says Tosfos, there is an alternative explanation. Ba'aruch, there is a sefer called the Aruch, one of the Rishonim, Piresh, he explains differently. That dugma, dugma means hishkuha mei tseva. Avoloi hoyu morim mamish. We know that the waters that they gave the Soita were bitter waters, the mei morim. This alternative translation, the Aruch says, Dugma means it wasn't the real Meimorim. It was just made Seva. It was paint. That's what it means, Dugma. It's like a placebo. It wasn't the real, wasn't the genuine item. They didn't really give her to drink. You're bringing me a story that Shammai of Avtalion gave a Gyeris to drink. It wasn't really the real deal. It wasn't proper Meimorim. It was just a dugma. It was an example, but it wasn't the real thing, i.e. it was made Seva. V'loi mochku ha-toira oleho. And they did not erase the Torah, elo le-yira oisa, just to make her afraid. Meaning, we know that the phenomenal chiddush of the Meisoita is, you write the parasha of Soita, and you put it into the Meimorim, and that actually deletes the words of the Torah, which normally you're not allowed to do, but under these circumstances, you can. If you put it in Meitseva, that won't happen. It's only in these bitter waters that clearly have some elements that will erase the letters. They didn't do that, he claimed. They just put it basically in paint, and they were just doing it to frighten her, but it wasn't the real deal. So this is a completely different understanding of the story. It's also considered a zilzal, and that's why it was excommunicated. But according to Rashi, and Tosafos says the Yerushalmi, the zilzal was by suggesting that he carried out this halacha only because he wanted equality for Geirim, whereas according to the Aruch, the zilzal was by claiming that they went through the process and it was all one big joke. It wasn't the real Meimorim at all. It was just paint. That's considered a zilzal. You're mocking Shammai of Avtalion as if to say they went through the whole process and it was all a fake. So two alternative versions of events.
Got a quick question on these two.
Very quick. We're going to run out
of time. Yeah, I know. We're out of time. Akavi ben Mahalel. So was he, they say because he was a Yerushalmayim, it couldn't have been him. That's referring really to the issue around Zilzul of the Tuas Yadayim. But what about in the case of the Sota? Was it him or was it not him?
You know, according to Yehuda says it cannot have been him with the case of the Sota. The whole story did not exist. It didn't happen.
Okay.
He's denying the whole story ever happened. Never happened. Can't have happened.